The Jack B Show, where pit smarts meet street smarts. Now, here's your host, Jack Berugin.
Hey, welcome, everybody. Happy Thursday to you. This is Jack Berugin. Let's call this one January 24th. Getting close to the end of the month here, folks. A lot going on to talk about. I got a great show for you today. I got Alan Rohr back on the show. He'll be joining us in a little bit. But before we start, I do want to pass on some bad news. We lost a pioneer in the futures industry yesterday. Barry Lind was tragically killed in Palm Springs. For those of you that don't know who Barry Lind is, Barry was one of the founders of Lind Waldock. Many of you might remember that name. But more importantly, Barry was one of the pioneers in retail futures. He was of the opinion that a retail trader that was educated had as much of an opportunity and could compete if he had the same homework and did the same homework as anybody else out there, and built an amazing retail business. It was back when I first got into the industry, it was the premier retail house, bought by a couple of different firms. Of course, I think Refco was the last firm that bought him. He's been out of the industry for quite a while, but has always been on the periphery, and has been one of those guys that was always instrumental whenever we had any issue, whether it be the creation of the E-mini, for example. Those of us that were part of that process looked to Barry for guidance, for advice. One of the really a great visionary in the futures industry. And, you know, you won't see big obituaries in the New York Times about him. There was nothing today on CNBC about him. But I got to tell you, here in the city of Chicago, there's a large void because the man, was a short little guy. He was like about my height, but had a huge presence. Again, Barry Lind passed last night. Big loss, not only for here, us in Chicago, but for the entire futures family around the world. Apple's earnings, how about it, folks? Did not come out the way people thought they would. And with it, of course, we saw an immediate reaction in the NASDAQ. You could see it, in fact, in after-hours trading yesterday. I said to you yesterday as we were doing the show that we had to pay very close attention, see what was going on with Apple. Apple was going to set the tone for today. If you notice, it's had a hard time, and the market's had a very difficult time doing anything because of Apple. And why? Well, when you've got a stock like Apple, which has weighed very heavily in some of these indices, NASDAQ being one of them, you end up with a situation where it's very difficult to really gauge the performance of the rest of the market. In other words, when you have an aberration that takes place, and that's exactly what this is, much like we saw yesterday. I said the same thing when IBM was, making up 75 points of the Dow's rise, and I said, this is one stock. Let's keep that in mind. Now, having said that to you, I think the market performance today is actually healthy. And some of you are going to say, well, Berugin, what are you talking about? NASDAQ got clobbered today. Yes, it should have gotten clobbered today based off of what you saw happen with Apple. On the other hand, I got to tell you this, all right? I would have expected to see a lot worse. Remember where we were a year ago, folks. Had Apple been down as much as it was down today, a year ago in percentage terms, I think that you would have seen the NASDAQ down 100 points. But we didn't see that, did we? If anything, again, some of the froth seems to be taken out of the market. We saw that trip up to 1,500 today in the S&P. And for those of you that don't know, yeah, we saw 1,500 in the cash, folks. How about it? All right. 1,584 is the all-time high. 84 handles, that's nothing. That's nothing. Think about where we just were, and where we are now. We could put on 80 points in a matter of a week, But the reality, and by the way, seeing how next week is the last week in January, and this is turning out to be one of the best years in the last, or one of the best Januaries in the last 20 years, look for a little bit of action towards the end of the month. Look for a couple of these naysayers to jump right in and start chasing things. I would not be surprised whatsoever. But anyway, the S&P at 1,500. Now, here's the ironic part. For those of you that saw the story, you know where I'm going to go with this. Nario Rabini. Mr. Doom and Gloom, okay? Had his 15 minutes of fame when, you know, he was the one of the Bears that called the move down in 08 and 09. Yeah. We remember the story. You know what? I'm tired of hearing about it. And, you know, I'll tell you why I'm tired of hearing about it. Because he's been bearish ever since. Well, guess what, folks? You know what? It's a long ways away from 666 S&P, which is where we were when he told us he was a bear. Okay? I mean, you know, I want you to think about this for a second. So now why am I bringing him up? Well, with the S&P hitting 1,500, guess who's getting optimistic all of a sudden? That's right. Nariel Rabini, who all of a sudden is becoming an optimist. Let me put it this way. He's becoming as much of an optimist as I would expect anybody in his position to become. All right? You know, and get this. Things are less worse. Those were that is an exact quote, folks, from Nariel Rabini. You know what that tells me? That tells me, number one, more than likely we're getting to a near-term top, all right, so we've got to be very careful about that. But number two, all right, it is the beginning of the end of the Cassandras. And what I mean by that, folks, I call them the Cassandras, the soothsayers of doom, all right? The Jesuits taught me well at Loyola, folks, all right? Remember your Julius Caesar, all right? Remember Shakespeare? Act one, scene one, you had Cassandra, the soothsayer of doom, telling Julius Caesar, beware the Ides of March. Well, you know what? We have nothing but Cassandras out there right now. Nariel Rabini, all right, and I said this the other day, and Nassim Taleb are going to be responsible for more wealth destruction, all right, than any two individuals that I can think of. You know, and you can go right down the line. You know, you got Parker over at Morgan Stanley who told everybody we were going to be at 1,100 S&P by the end of last year. He was dead wrong. I mean, you can go right down the list, which is one of the reasons, by the way, that Jim Cramer came out and said what he said yesterday, which was, you know what, a blinding glimpse of the obvious. And if you want to know what he said, you know, look it up. And better yet, go look at the tape on CNBC. He actually said, you know what, these analysts have been wrong a lot lately. You know what? And I like the fact that he said that because he's somebody who's probably paid a lot of money to analysts for them to be either right or wrong in some cases. But anyway, I just got a big, big kick out of that. The one thing that I did want to point out again is the fact that, you know, with all the action that we're seeing at their earnings, and, you know, look, whenever you get a 10% move plus an Apple, you know there's going to be action and ancillary effects in other markets. We're not seeing the action that you would expect out of bonds. Look, we didn't see it yesterday, and we're not seeing it today. You know, you're not seeing people running for cover. There is a real interesting story developing around that bond market. And again, as I said to you yesterday, I think that we're going to have to pay attention to the middle part of that yield curve. The 2 to 10, which is really where I'm at, where my focus is. That's where I've got my, you know, my sight lines set on. And the reason is because that's where we're going to see the volatility, number one. And number two, that is where I want to hedge out my personal exposure internally. And what I mean by that is, you know, everybody has bonds on it. You were hearing me say this yesterday. Every major corporation has got a bond position on. They've got debt on their books. You know, I mean, it's just the way it works. You know, and so you take it all the way down to the individual with credit card debt. Well, you know, debt makes the world go around. Okay, you know, it's one of the reasons why it was so important when we started to see a seizure a few years ago. You know, when you go and you buy anything, if you buy a suit or a dress, you pay with a credit card. Well, that is an obligation of money is basically what it is. You know, so it's basically the promise of money being paid all around. It's credit, folks, and understand this. It is very important in and of itself because it's what it's the heart blood. It's the actual cog, you know, of the machine. You know, it makes capitalism work. And understanding the nuances of debt are very important. Now, why do I bring this up? Because we have been looking and waiting for a rotation out of fixed income into other asset classes. And maybe, and I was bringing this up yesterday, maybe we're not going to get it the way we thought we were going to get it. Maybe it's going to come in the way of, say, the bell curve. It's going to come in the fat in the middle part of the curve, all right, because we have got the Fed concentrating on the long end. They're concentrating on the short end. All right. Those are the two parts of the curve, by the way, that they've already told us that they're going to be active in. How do I know this? Well, you know, they're out there buying 10s and 30s. All right. And I know that they can manipulate Fed funds. So now I know that they're at the long end. So think of it as a barbell, folks. All right. Now they're at the heavy set of the barbell. The middle part, the bar itself. All right. That's where we want to be. That's where we want to be. So the twos to tens, folks, I want you to pay attention to that. Right now, the spread between those two is running right around 1.6%. Now, why do I bring that up? Because I want you to look back on a historic level and understand that that is the spread that's going to widen out considerably if we indeed start to see some of these things, this rotation out of bonds, take place. So keep your eyes focused on between that again, the twos to tens, and it's something that I'm going to bring out a few people. In fact, I did a little piece on the CME market update bit yesterday. And by the way, if you didn't see it, go to the CME site. Tomorrow I'm going to actually do a bit of a memorial for Barry Lind, only because, you know, as you heard me say earlier, there are very few people that I actually really looked to and took, you know, I went to for advice. Barry was one of them. So to have lost Barry Lind is really one of the, for me personally, is one of those things that that we're going to have to find a way to be able to replace that void. But just anyway, getting back to it, what I do want to say is that I mentioned it yesterday on the market update piece, and I said it for a reason because I wanted to start planting a seed. I want people to pay attention to exactly how they can start to preserve a portion of their portfolio that normally they would not look at as a hedgeable, all right, asset class. You know, remember, when people buy bonds, you know, you're not buying them thinking of you know, the way you buy equities. You know, you don't think of bond purchases as the same way as you do, say, a commodity or anything else that you buy looking for either, you know, volatility or movement. No, you're buying it usually for yield and capital preservation. Now, you know, let's say for argument's sake, I'm right. In that case, that we're not going to see people liquidate large bond positions, even if we see large movement. Remember, a lot of these people that are in bond positions are in them because they got burned. They got burned in 2000. They got burned in 2008. They didn't see the warning signals. They lost a lot of their money. And now, as they get into their 60s and they get to their retirement age, they are realizing that their appetite for risk is nowhere near what it was 15 or 20 years ago. Well, what that's going to do then, folks, it's going to present a very interesting challenge for people like myself that always look for those rotations, the little, I guess, the bells that tell us that we're seeing money moving out of one asset class into the other, because we're not going to see it the way most of us had been brought up to think that we're going to see it. You know, in the old days, you would see basically a tidal wave of capital coming out of fixed income going into equities, especially at a time where we're getting near all-time highs. But we're not seeing that. If anything, you know, we're seeing what I consider, and I keep calling, the Rodney Dangerfield rally, all right? The least respected rally I have ever seen in my life. Now, you know, what it does, though, is it continues to put us in what I say is a persistent bull state. You know, are we going to get the pullbacks? Absolutely. This bounce off of 1,500 that we saw today, perfect. You know what? You could not have asked for a better place for the market to stop, technically. In fact, you know, after the next break, we're going to bring Alan Rohr back out. We'll get his two cents on that. And plus, I want to talk about Davos with him. A lot going on over there and, you know, in Switzerland. We want to find out what it means for the banks, what it means for our markets here. But, you know, just getting back to it, folks, I guess, you know, what I really want to do is I want to point out that there are amazing opportunities that are taking place right now. All right. Even though the market is moving and grinding higher. In fact, you know, I had somebody tell me yesterday the market is untradeable. No, it is not. All right. Do not think that the market is untradeable. If anything, this is one of the most tradable markets I think that I have ever come across. All right. Have you listened to what I've been saying? If you haven't, then you know what? It's untradeable. If you have, then hopefully you've been able to do this and take advantage of it, all right? Now, the other thing that I've been saying to you all along is that this volatility at 12.5 is something that you've got to take advantage of, all right? You know, look, you know, the market did what it did today, and you realize that any put action that you buy is not going to move. Understand that, all right? The only way we will see downside protection fall apart or disintegrate is if we see an upside explosion. At 12.5% volatility, folks, they're giving us insurance, all right? They're handing it away for free. And who am I to say no? How about that? All right, we're going to take a few minutes, and then when we come back, again, I want to bring Alan Rohr back out, where we're going to dig into some technicals for the day, also talk a little bit about what's going on at Davos, and maybe tell a Barry Lynn story. I know that Alan, as an old-timer, also had a little history with Barry back in the old days, as we all did. And before we go, I just want to tell a quick story. You know, Barry was a avid golfer. And, I golfed with him a few times. I was partners with him when we played with the chairman of the exchange here at Chicago and the New York exchange who came into town. And I lost $100, and so did Barry, playing golf. He has never, ever let me forget that. For the last 15 years, he would bring it up all the time. God bless him. Rest in peace, Barry.
The Jack B. Show will return after a few words from our sponsors.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000, please write down this phone number. It's time to deal with your IRS problems today. Call Certified Tax now for help in all 50 states. Certified Tax's tax attorneys and experts will contact the IRS on your behalf the same day that you become a client. Isn't it time to face your IRS problems? Call today for your free, no-obligation consultation. 800-570-5115. That's 1-800-570-5115. Again, 800-570-5115.
Hello, listeners. It's Sarah Ritz here. You might know me as Little Miss Market on The Jack B. Show. Don't forget, Capstone Financial School is currently offering a special rate for any consumer education, personal finance, or investing course to our listeners. If you are concerned about your financial future and need help, our 10-hour course will show you how to get the best rates, including credit scores, credit cards, auto loans, student loans, cell phone plans, renting versus buying, and record keeping to investing with low risk, high probability. The school offers a one-on-one consultation. Before entering a class, we will find out what your needs are and how to apply that information to your education experience. Our school admission counselors are available for questions regarding availability, and special rates are being offered. Also, don't forget about our Give a Free Class to a Vet program. For further details, visit our website at www.capstonefinancialschool.com or call 855-411-3232.
When it comes to trading and investing, education is the key to success. But with so many trading schools out there, how do you know which one is right for you? Hi, I'm Greg Hadley, president of Bull & Bear Institute. Bull & Bear Institute was designed by traders for traders. We give you the comprehensive education you need to trade successfully with confidence. Our classes are taught by professional traders with over 100 years of combined experience in the capital markets. Get results. We teach you how to identify price movements and take advantage of it using futures, options, stocks, and ETFs. Develop the knowledge, patience, and discipline it takes to spot the right time to act. Call 855-Y-TRADE or go to bullandbearinstitute.com to sign up for a free subscription to our exclusive newsletter. Flexible day and evening classes are always available. Call 855-Y-TRADE. That's 855-949-8723 or go to bullandbearinstitute.com.
And now back to the Jack B. Show.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, on this Thursday. Again, looking at what I call the Apple market today. All Apple seemed to be driving the market. In fact, the NASDAQ weakness really was telling it was one of those things that that drove the market down, or at least kept it down all day. As promised, folks, I've got the one, the only Alan Rohr back right here in the studio with me today. Alan, of course, is the founder of Rohr International. You can always read his blog, one of the best blogs. A lot of followers, by the way. You got 3,000 people now, I saw, over 3,000.
I got 3,000 Twitter followers, and very they tend
cool.
to log into it pretty actively.
You know what? That is worth bragging about. And Alan, you know, before we get into it, I want to say, I think you heard me talking about Barry Lind a little while ago, and I know that you've got,
Lind Waldock.
Yeah.
Long before there was a Lind Waldock, it was B.J. Lind and Company.
Is that right?
Yeah, and then he was partners with the Waldock brothers out in Sandusky, Ohio. They had all of the fundamental information on the meets, and he was a most interesting guy and someone who was a great mentor, either directly or indirectly. And the two things I would share there is, when we were all runners, back when it was still a country club, Jack, I mean, literally, the meets opened at 9, the grains opened at 9:30. You were done working at 1:15. I mean,
yeah, you were drinking your first beer by 2, wasn't it, that case?
If you were down in Harding's, down that's at right. the old Merck. I mean, I've got a picture in one of my blog
the
posts.
Iron Horse, right? That's
No, that was even before that. The Iron Horse was when they already moved into the electronic Merck. I'm talking about when people were still scratching quotes on the chalkboards on catwalks above the pits. Guys, they actually relied on the brokers to shout up the quotes, and they'd go, nah, take that out of there. I mean, it was the Wild West. But the
folks, that is about as old a story as you will get.
Yes, I am.
There were people that were on chalkboards before. That is a true story, by the way.
Right. And it was very interesting going first to the up in the office where you had the pneumatic clacker boards.
Wow.
Back in the day. It was like all that hiss, and you could tell when things were picking up because you hear a louder hiss, and it would go clack, 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 clack.
Well, I remember when we first created the CME, when we redid the floors, we got the idea from the sports book at Caesar's Palace.
And absolutely.
They said, don't tell anybody. And I said, it's the same colors. Everyone's going to be able to know, anyone that goes there.
Right,
but
exactly. But the two things about Barry. One, he was a great mentor on manage risk. He helped the public get involved. He was the prime mover. That was it right
yeah,
there. May he rest
was.
In peace that he put out his 10 rules of trading for retail investors, and we're getting people into trading pork bellies and grains and all that by saying, put in stops, know what you're risking, and if the market moves against you, don't fight it. All those rules. But when we were business lessons, when we were little punks who were runners, we went, hey, you know what? These brokers are making fortunes here. Here we come in every day from, again, only 9 to 1, but we were getting paid back in the day $70 a week. And we came to Barry, a group of us from BJ Lynn. There were about 4 or 5 upstarts who said, hey, you know, Barry, the brokers are making so much money. We're only getting paid $70 a week. It hardly seems fair. He said, you are being availed of the opportunity to meet, speak with, and learn from all those brokers who know how to get rich. You should be paying me $70 a week.
typical Barry comment.
Get out.
I love it. That is a typical Barry comment.
And there was no one who ever lived, maybe there were equals, but no one who ever lived who exceeded Barry's mastery of the English language as a weapon. You sat in meetings with him, not just going to play golf.
But he would do it in a very, very unassuming way.
Absolutely.
He would use the term probably with maybe 5 times in every sentence.
But he could reinterpolate whatever you told him.
Oh, yeah.
And
good.
You would say something to Barry and go, well, I think we should really see this and that should be this way. And he'd think for a minute and he'd go, or less than a minute, about 10 seconds, he'd go, so what you're telling me is you want this to happen. And it was different than the way it sounded when you said it, but he was normally fastidious, very right, and it was a great lesson. Understand exactly what you're saying, exactly what you mean, and he served the Merck very well. Well, there's been some slippage lately. He served the Merck very well on all those clearing committee
he
boards.
He was the treasurer of the exchange. He was head of clearing committee.
Here's the way the funding has to be.
That's right.
No exceptions. None.
Most of how we're margined today is because of Barry Lind. I think that he was one of the people back in clearing when he was head of the clearing committee. When, like you said, we were a country club, he was in charge of managing the risk of the exchange. And back then, it was the full faith and credit of all of the members together.
That's right.
So it was anyway, one of the things that he did do was help create the S&P contract. And,
sure.
You know, I guess let's get right into it. We've got an S&P today that, well, over the course of the last week here since you've been on, Alan. I mean, we've seen this market rallying, got up to that magic 1,500 level in cash today. Logical place for it to stop. I think that, you know, I don't want to read too much into it other than the fact that it's more of a psychological level. But let's talk a little markets here, and then we'll get into Davos and some other topics in a little bit.
Well, actually, Jack, this gets exactly back to the point you were making earlier about people saying the market's not tradable. Well, the market does get into some quiet ranging activity, and that alternates with very active phases. But what you have seen as the market has put on the trend, especially the uptrend out of the sell-offs into, you know, last November or so when the market really bottomed out. But even before that, during the year, what you have seen is markets that are eminently tradable and eminently investable because just what Jack Baruchian has said, folks, you buy the pullbacks. Now, the question always is, well, what represents a pullback? There's times they stalled, like into the concern over the fiscal cliff when the pullback turned out to be pretty big from around the 1440 area all the way down to the 1380 area. And then you had to be aware you had that kind of hiccup possible. But mostly when the market's trending, you can indeed buy the minor pullbacks. And if you're a trader, manage your risk with a stop. If you're an investor, well, you benefited pretty markedly.
5 to 7% pullbacks. I always look for them. You know, we got a little bit more with that break that you were talking about, which, if you remember correctly, we had that big aberration that moved down on a spike, but it came back real quick. But I guess here's a question, and I'm really curious, because I hear people telling me that it's untradeable. Do you think that they're just plain wrong? Are they the Nariel Rabinis of the world? Whereas you, if you see something happen, it changes your opinion. You are, I mean, you know, the market tells you what to think in many cases by what you're looking at.
It's one of the great precepts of Lord Keynes.
Well, I mean, that's so important.
When circumstances change, my opinion changes too, sir. How do you operate?
But Rabini didn't do that.
No,
I guess maybe, you know, maybe it was written in his contract that he had to be a perennial bear. I mean, but right. I mean, there are a lot of people that listen to him and have lost a lot of purchasing power parity, as I said yesterday,
right,
by not being invested.
Well, and this is the problem. This is why, as you know, my big theme, and I know you have come around to subscribing to it from a more purely fundamental view previous. You know, when circumstances change, so does my opinion. Jack, you're the poster child for when 2008 came along. You said, I have great faith. It'll be good across time, but you must focus on risk management and timing more so than we did before.
But prior to that, if you remember, I got into a shouting match with Rick Santelli, which is all over YouTube, all right, because, you know, he was saying that, you know, he didn't want to pass the tarp, and I was like, you know, you can't wait. You
right.
know, you've got a seizure here.
And I mean, it broke in spite of him passing the tarp, but still, but the point is more so that you went from being someone who always wanted to buy pullbacks to saying, there are times you suspend your buying.
That's right.
And there are times also that you seek protection. Buy insurance against the pullback in the form of options. Now, what we have with people like Rubini, Taleb, etc., look, their bread and butter, their stock and trade is crisis mongering. And it's why they can't change. Whereas I'm still concerned this year. And you know I've allowed January. I've said it from the top of the year. Allow we can have another January rally. But the headwinds could still be there from higher taxes, more aggressive regulation. But it's not going to be here on January 7th or 10th or 15th. You have to wait till you get January out of the way and pick it up from February. And when we get what above 1475? And America, we did this on a market update for the Merck, didn't we? Low 1500s, here we come.
Yeah.
So don't fight it.
No.
Learn to love the rally.
I got to tell you, I love this rally, Alan. All right, we're going to take a few minutes, and then when we come back, talk a little bit about more of that in Davos.
The Jack B. Show will return after a few words from our sponsors.
Are you working harder than ever at your job, but find yourself getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our free information, you can lead a happier life, work from home, and start earning money as soon as next week.
I was a traditional business owner, and our business was affected greatly by the economy, so we were looking for another income stream. It allowed me to actually walk away from a 16-year career and part owner in a traditional business just after 8 months.
Go to freedom27.com, get out of the rat race, work from home, and start earning great money as soon as next week.
I'm a single mom. Before this business, I was over $90,000 in credit card debt alone. And now we go to Disneyland, Disney World. We've been on vacations to Hawaii. I never could have done that before this business.
Go to freedom27.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 27.com. Freedom27.com and start earning great money as soon as next week.
Hey folks, Jack Baruchian here, host of the Jack B. Show. One of the questions that people ask most often is, how do you learn about the markets? Well, the people at the Bull and Bear Institute have probably one of the best course curriculums that I have ever come across to teach people about the capital markets. With over 100 years of combined experience, their staff brings a wealth of information to each and every Bull and Bear Institute course. So whether you're trading futures, options, stocks, ETFs, whether you're thinking about trading them, whether you have your money with a registered investment advisor, I would highly recommend that you go out there and learn exactly what is going on. These are classes that are both live and online, AM and PM. So do yourself a favor, folks. Contact these people and understand what is going on in your financial world. Again, the Bull and Bear Institute, 855-Y-TRADE. That's 855-Y-TRADE, 855-949-8723.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000, please write down this phone number. It's time to deal with your IRS problems today. Call Certified Tax now for help in all 50 states. Certified Tax's tax attorneys and experts will contact the IRS on your behalf the same day that you become a client. Isn't it time to face your IRS problems? Call today for your free, no-obligation consultation. 800-570-5115. That's 1-800-570-5115. Again, 800-570-5115.
And now back to the Jack B. Show.
Hey, welcome back, folks, on this Thursday, talking markets with Alan Rohrbach here on the Jack B. Show. And Alan, you were talking a little bit about the S&P, and I guess I do want to point out, and I was saying this in the break, we got one of the best Januaries in the last 10 years. It's got the potential to be the best January in 17 years. Give me your thoughts. Let's get some final thoughts on the S&P before we start talking about Switzerland and what's going on in Davos.
Well, in a nutshell, it's a very good question because a lot of people, you get worried right away when the market takes a fast $10, $12, $13 drop. Which it did from the highs today. It looked very good up at near 1,500 in the futures, at 1,500 in the cash. But what you have is also, as we discussed, a market that escaped that very significant September lead contract high at 1,474.50. Now, I've had several blog posts going back to a couple of weeks ago, and especially the later part of last week, so people want to go to Rohr, R-O-H-R hyphen blog, and that would mean you should search engine that. That's not the official address, R-O-H-R hyphen blog, and go back to the discussions of the jailbreak. And I discussed the ways in which multiple technical factors, and as you always caution me, Jack, radio's a lousy medium to run technical analysis lessons.
Well, it is, so, but it is and it isn't. It all depends on what kind of a visual picture you can paint with your
words.
Well,
concisely, I will say there's certain degrees to which the market gets overbought. The short-term trading gets out ahead of the longer-term momentum, and then you can look for a correction.
A pullback. What particular indicators do you look for that get overbought?
Well, I follow the weekly close against the 41-week moving average. 41-week is kind of like the proxy for the 200-day because of the holidays and all that. So that was up in a key area coming in a couple weeks ago. It was getting up toward, in fact, the 1475 area or so was $80 above on the S&P future, $80 above that longer-term average. And that's an important threshold. If it goes above it, it tends to go up to like 115. In other words, another $35. Mm-hmm. So when we go through on a weekly close, 1475 last week by more than a few bucks. Well, guess what? That means that the rubber band that was stretched out that might have caused it to pull back in, the rubber band snapped and the market's liberated to put on the next extension. So, as we said in that.
That's a very, very descriptive way, by the way.
It's one of the few things that works on radio.
Talking markets. I like that.
Few things that works on radio, the rubber band discussion of overbought or oversold. It can snap and they can keep going.
Well, here, let's talk a little bit about what
Let me finish by saying the next stop, both in terms of, again, I use a confluence of factors. So there are multiple factors why escaping 1475 was important, including that oscillator. But the next stop would appear to be an interim level about 1,510 on the lead contract futures. So we pulled back today. I think there's more to go unless the only hope the Bears have is they have to put the market back below 1,475, and I'm not buying that right
Any
now.
Any window dressing you think next week, seeing how this is the end of the month and we're looking at an amazing January?
Yeah, next week, and don't forget, that's into Thursday, not into the end of the week.
That's
31st
right.
is next Thursday, so you could see by about Tuesday or Wednesday, very few managers are going to wait for the last day of the month. If the market's okay on Monday, by Tuesday and Wednesday, there are natural buyers. And on the current move, you know, I don't know we're going to get all the way back down to 75. Any of the short-term view folks who, you know, are in there tightly managing their risk, et cetera, I would think something in this mid to low 80s. We've already gotten down to 83.5 overnight. We're down to 86.50 during the regular trading hours. Something around 1485 to maybe somewhat below it. If that holds, then it's like you said, Jack, not an untradeable market.
No, that's just the plateau that it sets for itself.
You have to allow yourself the luxury.
Alan, people have been wrong about it being untradeable. They've been wrong about the Chinese hard landing. They've been wrong about Europe. And let's talk Europe here. You know, I mean, you know, Davos, they've got a big conference going on in Davos. All right. Give me your take on that a little bit. And more importantly, tell us a little bit about Mario Draghi saving the world.
Well, they work hand in glove, in fact. But first of all, let's say that, as you pointed out before, Jack, one of the big things now motivating the added confidence, even if it's just extra liquidity out there chasing yield because they can't get yield in this zero interest rate environment at the short end, chasing yield, it's about people who are feeling better about going in the stock market, and it's crisis abatement. So you're continuing to get lousy news from Europe. Italian retail sales, Spanish employment is at an all-time high. Youth employment in Spain, the under 25s, 60%. But it's a given. It's cooked in that, okay, Europe's in recession. It might even be get a bit worse before it gets better. But
isn't it a tale of two Europes, though? I mean, you got the north, you got Germany in the
Germany,
north, and then you've got
Germany
the south.
Germany actually had better than expected advanced purchasing managers index today, which I know you're aware of. That's the advance is often very similar to the final you end up with. So especially this late in the month already, I'm figuring that's the figures we're going to see at the end of the month as well. But very interestingly, or at the top of February, I should say, very interestingly, one of the key individuals involved in Davos, and there was a wonderful two-part interview segment with Ray Dalio of Bridgewater Associates.
Smart man. I remember covering him when I was at Greenwich Capital Markets years ago when he only had $100 million under management. I think he's got a couple billion now.
Actually talks about he started with a $5 million trading line from the World Bank.
Yeah.
He started with five, and they've got, you know, over $1 billion under management.
Alan, I visited them in Connecticut. I'll never forget. They had a little itty-bitty office, all right? Literally, there were maybe about 10 people in there, and now they're a powerhouse.
Well, I encourage people, and if you want to view it directly online, fine. I'm going to have links in the blog post I'm going to put out this afternoon to a two-part interview with him, and two bottom lines there. One, I love, and I've heard it before, but every time he speaks, I love hearing Ray Dalio's discussion of the economies and the markets as a machine and about credit, which you were talking about credit before, Jack, and credit versus income.
I was actually quoting him, by the way. I guess I should have qualified that. A lot of what I was talking about was from Ray Dalio's
wonderful stuff
interview today in Davos, but I did love it.
Wonderful stuff, but also what he specifically said is the mitigation of the crisis mentality and the degree to which Mario Draghi did a masterful job of defusing a panic last year, not just the financial panic, but if everything had melted down in the worst case scenario, you would have had a social breakdown in Europe. And he managed to head that off. Now, we all know what he stated as well, how the central banks unwind these things across what will take many years of all these huge expansion of their balance sheets. Who knows? There could be further bumps along the way. But what we know for now is they've removed the crisis mentality, and ergo, that's why right now your Talibs and Rubinis are having to backtrack and say, well, it's less bad than I thought, and allow for the
rally. Does that explain the flood of cash that's starting to come into equities this January?
100%. That is people who are finally saying, we're not afraid to think things might be at least okay. And if they're okay, it's what you've talked about for a while, the suppressed price earnings multiples on these various equity indices and stocks are because people said, I'm worried about event risk. As event risk gets dialed down, they're happier to say, well, the economic risk is there. But compared to event risk, economic risk isn't nearly as bad.
Well, you know what? When you do the fundamentals and you look at them and you realize that you've been wrong about the disintegration of Europe, you've been wrong about a crash landing in China, you realize that maybe, just maybe, these numbers that are being posted by these corporations are indicative of what's to come. We'll be right back.
The Jack B. Show will return after a few words from our sponsors.
Attention business owners and individuals who owe the IRS. Do you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes? You need aggressive representation. Call Certified Tax now and speak to one of our tax attorneys, enrolled agents, or tax professionals who specialize in tax liens, back taxes, tax debt, wage garnishment, and collections. We won't waste your time. Instead, we'll be on the phone with the IRS within 30 minutes of you becoming a client. And you can become a client right now. We've settled millions of dollars in tax issues for a fraction of the cost. Find the peace of mind knowing the IRS will not be knocking at your door. Protect your home, business, and family today. We know the tax laws, and we act fast. Call today for your free, no-obligation consultation. 1-800-560-3420. Remember, we'll be on the phone with the IRS within 30 minutes of you becoming a client. That's guaranteed. Call Certified Tax at 800-560-3420. That's 800-560-3420. Again, 800-560-3420.
Hello, listeners. It's Sarah Ritz here. You might know me as Little Miss Market on The Jack B. Show. Don't forget, Capstone Financial School is currently offering a special rate for any consumer education, personal finance, or investing course to our listeners. If you are concerned about your financial future and need help, our 10-hour course will show you how to get the best rates, including credit scores, credit cards, auto loans, student loans, cell phone plans, renting versus buying, and record keeping to investing with low risk, high probability. The school offers a one-on-one consultation. Before entering a class, we will find out what your needs are and how to apply that information to your education experience. Our school admission counselors are available for questions regarding availability, and special rates are being offered. Also, don't forget about our Give a Free Class to a Vet program. For further details, visit our website at www.capstonefinancialschool.com or call 855-411-3232.
Are you working harder than ever at your job, but find yourself getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our free information, you can lead a happier life, work from home, and start earning money as soon as next week.
I was a traditional business owner, and our business was affected greatly by the economy, so we were looking for another income stream. It allowed me to actually walk away from a 16-year career and part owner in a traditional business just after 8 months.
Go to freedom27.com, get out of the rat race, work from home, and start earning great money as soon as next week.
I'm a single mom. Before this business, I was over $90,000 in credit card debt alone. And now we go to Disneyland, Disney World. We've been on vacations to Hawaii. I never could have done that before this business.
Go to freedom27.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom27.com. Freedom27.com. And start earning great money as soon as next week.
Jack Marugin here. Most of you recognize me from the floor of the CME. There are a lot of trading schools out there, but I found one that actually works. The Bull & Bear Institute has the best curriculum to teach you about the capital markets, whether it's the basics of investing, intermediate or advanced trading techniques using stocks, options, ETFs, futures, and Forex. BBI has it all. So call the folks at the Bull & Bear Institute at 855-Y-TRADE. Tell them Jack B sent you and get 50% off that first course. Again, that's 855-Y-TRADE, 855-949-8723.
And now back to the Jack B. Show.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. We're talking with Alan Rohrbach, folks, as we wrap it up, not only for the day, but for the week, Thursdays. Man, this week went by quick, a shortened week. Alan, you were talking a little bit about Europe. Why don't you finish your thoughts there, and then we could talk a little bit about what's coming out.
Well, what's coming out and what's going on in a couple of the other asset classes, because it's just very, very interesting right now, Jack. And, you know, in terms of Europe, I would say the most important thing is everyone knows it's a drag. It's cooked in, and it gets back to the Jack Borugian intraday trading influence. Now, today, while Europe was still open, we ended up coming back down. Europe closed at about, you know, a couple hours ago. If the worst we did was right into about when Europe closed, and here we are getting a bid back.
You know what? It's the natural trade. I've been telling people,
for
anybody,
years,
you know,
years
well,
now, you've been
for
saying,
me,
watch
it's
Europe.
It's the natural trade. It's funny because you know, whenever I hear people having a struggle trading the market, I said, "Well, what are you doing right around the European close?"
Right.
And I said, "Are you fading that?" And they turn to me as if I'm talking Greek, and you know what I mean, or Armenian for that matter.
Well, they ought to learn Armenian then. But the bottom line is that the European bonds, for all the improvement in the equities, and the FTSE's been up in London, and of course the Nikkei has come back after the hit it took after the disappointment with the Japanese anti-inflation program not being as aggressive as people had hoped on Thursday, on Tuesday on the BOJ release, their statement.
The 2% inflation, forced Fed inflation release?
Yeah, but they say it's going to go from 0.5% this year to 2% next year like magic. What, they got a magic wand? They got fairy dust?
Well, that's what I was saying yesterday. I described it as Abe getting into the helicopter and just printing up yen and start to throwing them out.
I don't know what they're going to do.
I don't know what they're going
to
do either.
It looks to me like crazy projections, but what we have is the bond markets are holding up once again better than you would expect with equities at new high, and the Australian dollar.
I was just talking about that. You know what? I'm surprised. Are you surprised that we're not seeing a rotation out of those bonds, or do you subscribe to what I was saying, that maybe some of that money will never come out?
Try to use the actual trend activity to infer what it might mean fundamentally. I think the bonds are still holding out for the fact there could be some problems a little further down the road this year, even by later this quarter. So the bonds still look attractive to people who are saying, hey, the headwinds in the U.S. from taxationism, our old bugaboo about tax and regulation and all that. And the Australian dollar, considering how well the people think China is rebounding, is doing very poorly in the light of improved equities, especially Chinese equities.
Is that because it's tied to the yen at all? Somebody, you know, said to me, there's a relationship out there between the Aussie dollar and the yen on that cross.
I'm not buying it.
Okay.
I'm not buying it.
I don't watch that personally.
Because Aussie is a huge natural resource.
It's a commodity.
Exporter,
it's a commodity currency.
And Japan is a huge importer.
Well, are we seeing Canada get hit too?
Yeah, Canada's weakening as well.
So we're seeing all the commodity
currencies.
We're
seeing commodity
currencies
weaken. The dollar's back above parity with Canada, which, of course, a while back it was struggling to hold some important levels down around 97.
Hey,
but the whole
look, Alan, our friends up north are happy to see that they're net exporters of crude oil here. That, you know what, that strong Canadian dollar was killing them up there. So I think they're very happy to see the depreciation.
Well, it just weakened off to its worst levels with the dollar back above parity. If it gets through the roughly $1.50 area, which was the high back in November, it could fly up to 102 to 103 again. Now, the whole point of that is, though, that there are non-confirmation factors out there for a more sustained equities rally than getting to that next stretched out point. That's somewhere between 1,510 and another quantum extension to no better than 1,525 in the S&P. And you know, Jack, I tend to get out in front of myself with these bigger cyclical thoughts, but the idea is love the bubble, love the rally right now. But folks, when you get nicely above 1,500 and everybody's bullish, when Rubini's saying, I was kidding, I was always really a bull.
We got that today. Basically, the things are less worse.
That's when I was
surprised.
Seek protection. Buy some out-of-the-money options just in case.
12.5 fix. Come on, Alan. You got to love that. They're giving it to you at that point.
So that's what we're seeing in the other asset classes. And more specifically, you know, for all the strength that's ostensibly led from here, we're really the prime mover. The T-note, the March 10-year T-note contract has a big support level attested after that non-farm payroll numbers at the beginning of the month. At 131.5, it hasn't even been back down there in the last 2 weeks.
You know, speaking of that, the non-farm payroll number, we did have an employment number that came out. This jobless claims came out a little better than I expected.
Quite a bit better.
Yeah, and you know, that's one of those, I guess, pieces of the puzzle that we want to keep filed in the back of our minds, because I've got a feeling that we're going to see some more job creation than people expect.
Second week in a row, it's well below 350. If it gets down around 300, it's a marker for your monthly jobless numbers, monthly jobs numbers, your non-farm payrolls are going to get much better. The next couple of weeks are very, very important for
The reason I think that it's important for us is because, remember, we've had a Fed that said that they are looking at a 6.5% target for unemployment. That's going to be the barometer by which we actually judge them.
And the market will anticipate them doing something. If it even dips much below 7.5%, the market won't wait for it to get to 7 or 6.5%. But speaking of what's coming out.
Yeah, I got about a minute left. I was about to ask you, what do we got
tomorrow,
coming out?
Tomorrow is very important on a non-U.S. influence.
Well, wait. We have new home sales tomorrow here.
I understand.
So
but you
to
also
me, that's important.
German IFO, UK GDP, Chinese business sentiment indicator, and small business confidence in Japan. So you have a whole slew of news out of Asia and Europe. I think especially that German IFO after the better-than-expected German advanced purchasing managers indices today.
How about the Chinese numbers? They've been very strong, too. I mean, I know we haven't spent
stronger
a lot of time.
Stronger than expected.
Yeah, I mean,
it's been,
I know I did CNBC Asia yesterday or the day before, whenever it was. You know, all these days blend into one another for me. And one of the things they said to me was, Jack, you've been absolutely right about China, because I've been looking for what I think is the soft landing and the ancillary effects of the soft landing, which are better than expected numbers coming out of
also
our
one of the
companies.
Key things Ray Dalio mentioned was that China right now is doing better, but it's doing it by expanding credit a lot faster than income, which you can't sustain for a while. So that's not a reason to doubt it now, but it's saying in a month or two, will they be able to maintain it? And for all, inflation looks a little bit in abeyance with, you know, energy prices at the pump for gasoline coming down a bit. You have to be very careful. This extremely dry winter could create more food price inflation over the summer. But again, all the things we said from top of the year, even as someone who has some doubts about the durability of the rally, I said, do not get bullish early in January because the market has a chance to pull a jailbreak above 1475 S&P future. It's done it. Low 1500s is, I think, where we end up before you can even begin to top out.
Well, you know what? We're seeing the money coming out of metals, folks. That's where it's coming out of gold, which, by the way, makes sense if it's scared money that's been out in Europe parked in gold. Remember, you know, they
crisis
park it.
Abatement.
Exactly. So I'm actually looking at gold right now and wondering where the support levels are, and it's something that we'll probably talk about next week. This is it. It's the fastest hour of my day. This is Jack Berugin for Alan Rohrbach. Again, our thoughts and prayers go out to the Lind family and the entire CME family on the passing of Barry Lind. Have a wonderful weekend.
Views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are not necessarily those of this radio station or its sponsors and should not be construed as legal, tax, or investment advice. You should always consult the appropriate advisor before making any financial decisions. All rights reserved.